Continuing our next
message, thank you, Juan, in our series, James chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. James 3, 1 through 8. James writes, "My brethren," so we understand right off that he's talking to Christian people, "be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Well, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even our Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Father God in heaven, may you lay upon our heart what ought to be and what ought not. I'm asking you, Lord, please hide me behind the cross of Christ. May the message be clearly driven by your Holy Spirit. May He and He only be our teacher. May we apply what we're going to hear to the situations of life that all of us will encounter. And may Jesus get the glory. We pray in His name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We're continuing in the series, Purifying and Strengthening the Church. Last week we spent time on the subject, Disunity Stifles the Church. We have talked about how fear impedes the church, how secret sin hinders the church. But not once have we used the word destroy the church until this morning. There are many things that will wreak havoc in the body of Christ, but nothing destroys more than the tongue. Do you know that gossip is a multi-million dollar industry, and it is evident by the bottom line of the tabloids? Their circulation grosses over $3.8 million a year. And do you know what? They lament the public is more than willing to pay for their product. It is interesting how we have moved from gossip tabloids to now professional gossip. And today it is called fake news. Do you know the definition of fake news is exactly the same as gossip? Here is a definition that I found on Wikipedia. Quote, fake news is a type of yellow journalism or propaganda that consists of deliberate misinformation or hoaxes, rumors, spread via traditional print, the broadcast news media, or online social media. The false information is mainly distributed by social media, but is periodically circulated through the mainstream media. Do you know that we have moved in our culture from gossip being an evil thing to where gossip now is professionally published and broadcast? Case in point, just this past week, the New York Times Magazine editor-in-chief, Jake Silverstein, I'm sure many have heard of this story, incorrectly shared pictures of children sleeping in enclosed cages and alluded to the fact that this is what the Trump administration is doing concerning immigrants. It turned out that the photographs were published by the Arizona Republic in 2014. I don't think Trump was president then. It happened after authorities detained over 1,000 children who had crossed the U.S.-Mexico border illegally, and then they were placed in a detention facility. Fake news is written and published with the intent to mislead in order to damage an individual, to damage an agency, and to gain financially and politically. But what really strikes me about the definition of fake news is it is exactly what gossip is and how gossip is defined throughout the Bible. The definition of gossip is defined by the Webster Dictionary as, quote, rumor or talk of a personal or sensational nature. Someone who habitually spreads sensational or intimate facts. Now, to understand why the gossip is so dangerous, we must understand what gossip is. And that's why I've taken the time to give you the cultural definitions of gossip. But you know what? I'm more impressed about what the Bible has to say about gossip. Do you know that when I was doing the research for this message, I went to Google and I typed in two words. I left out the middle word. I just typed gospel. I'm sorry, here we go again with the gospel. Gossip destroys. If I do that, just to say, you know, we know what he means. Gossip destroys. Let me tell you something. I didn't get 1,000 results. I didn't get 2,000 results. I got 822,000 results. And then I began to look through some of them. Obviously, I couldn't look through all of them. Most of them had to do with how gossip destroys relationships in the workplace. And site after site talk about how employers can help to eliminate gossip in the workplace. But what really broke my heart is how gossip is used so viciously today in our high schools and in social media. It is sad. The Bible doesn't use the word gossip. I know somebody will come to me later and say, the word gossip is not even the Bible. And I would say, you're absolutely right. In the etymology of words, we have gone from backbiter to gossip. The King James Version uses the word whisperer. That is a gossip. It's a noun. Or whispering. And so they are the old words that are written in the Bible. There are others. There is another Greek term that usually comes to us in Scripture as the word slander. And it carries the idea of hurting someone purposely. Again, like the fake news. The idea is that through gossip we are tearing down someone's character. Gossip defames people's character and their name. Now, gossip isn't something we are proud of, but something that we as human beings get caught up in. And it is a shame that the culture that we live in propagates, proliferates it, and makes it like, hey, just an everyday thing. You go to work, you go to the water cooler, and there it is, right? You go to the barber shop, or you go to the cafe, and there it is. I could not believe all of the sites that came up about places that are known to eat where you can get the gossip. There were story after story about a restaurant in North Dakota. It's very famous there. The food is terrible. In fact, when you looked at the blogs, the people say, I don't go there for the food. I go there for the gossip. That's true. You go look it up yourself. There are too many stories, true stories, that validate the truth. Gossip ruins relationships. That people, through the practice of gossip, can create serious problems. Case in point, and there were many of these. I quote this from a website that had young people expressing how gossip ruined their life. A senior in high school said that she was the subject of online gossip, that she had slept with the entire football team. She said, I quote, I think it was started by the ex-girlfriend of a boy on the team. But it didn't matter where it came from. People wanted to believe it. There was no way to refute it. I wanted to kill myself. And she tried. That's the pain and the devastation that can come from loose lips. We all have heard that proverbial saying. If I'm not mistaken, it's a wartime proverb. Loose lips sink ships. You know, Solomon warned us about gossip in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And by the way, there wasn't anyone ever smarter or wiser than King Solomon. I heard a sermon today by Dr. David Jeremiah. He's been doing a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And he reviewed why God blessed Solomon with wisdom. Because when he became king, God said to Solomon, ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. He said, I wanted nothing for myself, but for wisdom above to guide the children of God. Amen to that. May that be every leader's desire. And God not only gave him the greatest wisdom that could be imparted to any man, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he gave him the riches to which no man has ever attained. And Solomon wrote many proverbial statements about the dangers of gossip. He said it's like a fire. In Proverbs 26 and verse 20, he says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer or gossiper, the strife ceases. What tends to happen is somebody throws a little spark on the pile of rumor and lies, and somebody else comes along and throws a little bit more wood, as it were, on it, until it is a raging mess of gossip. Proverbs 11 and 13, Solomon calls a talebearer out. He says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. You know, there are some things that people do tell us because they desire us to pray. You know, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody said, I'm not gossiping, this is just by means of prayer. If the person asked you to pray about it, keep it to you. Amen? Unless they say, I want everybody to know. And I'm pretty sure that they would let somebody know that. The Bible goes on to say, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. They don't go and spread it. They take it to prayer for the purpose of the person's benefit. You know, we have solid confirmation of what Solomon wrote about. We have substantiation of it in James. That's why I picked this passage. In fact, I could have picked 20 different verses from the book of Proverbs, because that's where I was. But I don't think anybody says it better than James, the Lord's half-brother. I mean, he just tells it like it is. Your tongue can be deadly poison. Wow. That's pretty graphic. In fact, he says it in this passage, that the tongue is an unruly evil. Wow. Full of deadly poison. You know, by far the most common sin among brethren involves the use of our tongues. That's all of us. Even preachers can get caught up with gossip. What I have learned, and I'll share this with you, is that if you will pray for the Holy Spirit to nudge you when you begin to gossip, the Holy Spirit will nudge you. And the Holy Spirit will help you to turn from doing that. I know. Because I've asked, Lord, I don't want to be a gossip. So when I do, Lord, convict me quickly. So I stop. And oftentimes I'll turn in and try to say something positive rather than negative. Because we don't want to feed the fire of gossip. It was James who gave us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this passage. And I say that because I want you to take it seriously. This is not pastor on a pet peeve. This is not pastor, oh, he just wants to give it to us today. No. It's the written word of God. And we have to understand that gossip can destroy the church. It can destroy our community. And it certainly destroys relationships. The tongue, I've heard said, is more deadly than a screaming cannon. It wins without killing. It tears down homes, breaks hearts, it wrecks lives. Using gossip, slander, and deceit topples governments. It wrecks marriages. It ruins careers. Destroys reputations. Causes people nightmares. And generates grief, unquote. Don't know who coined that. But it makes sense. There are many, many, many victims of a loose tongue. Loose tongues, contentious tongues, harmful tongues have hindered the work of God 1,000 times over. We ought to be praying that it never hurts our church. Do you know that critical tongues, lying tongues, gossiping tongues have caused churches to close their doors? I didn't want to bring any examples of that today. I could have. But I don't want to discourage you. It's sad. The stories are out there. Gossip, ladies and gentlemen, ruins the communion of the saints, which God our Father holds precious. It ruins the relationships and the bonding of the Spirit among the saints that is so vital for us to have oneness. And oneness is important that we could have the power of the Holy Spirit upon the ministry. And so the two questions today that I have before we begin to exposit, and I am going to be quick because I do know that this passage is familiar to most. But as I go through verses 1 through 8, we need to ask ourselves, is my tongue, Lord, being used as a tool in Satan's workshop to destroy your church? Or number 2, is my tongue, Lord, being used to glorify you? This passage can truly help us because the first thing James talks about is how important it is to control one's tongue in verse 1. Again, my brethren. So we know that he's speaking to Christians. He says, be not many masters, or teachers is the word. Now, James doesn't mention the tongue or the concept of gossip in verse 1. The content clearly refers to the matter of speech. So what we say. He warned his readers not to be so ambitious for a teaching position, because teaching and teachers have the potential to misuse their tongue. We're seeing that on campuses of colleges all over the country, aren't we? We have liberal professors that propagate things that they ought not be. They're there to teach facts. But I think what James is trying to get to, more than anything else, is that the greater condemnation will be to those who gossip or use a teaching position to use their tongue in a negative way. That's what he says. Knowing that we shall receive the greater what? Condemnation. Be careful what you pray about, okay? One of the things that preachers must do is take seriously the preaching of the Word of God, because we have the potential through our tongue to mislead. And that is why it is important for you to pray for your pastor or your teachers, that they will be led by the Holy Spirit. You hear me pray all the time, Lord, hide me behind the cross. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. I want to be true to the Word of God. God is only going to bless a ministry that is truthful. He is a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's only going to honor truth. And so the truth is here that a teacher, and the word there is didakalos, teacher. It's very similar to diakonos, which is deacon. But this has the emphasis only of the teacher, one who is fitted to teach. Teachers need to be an example of a truthful tongue. Amen? It seems that some of James' readers did not recognize that teaching in the church, it is a spiritual gift. We could go to passage after passage. I think of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. I think of Romans chapter 15. It is a gift of God. It is given to us for edification, not to destroy or to use the position to talk about others in a negative way. James goes on to talk about, you know what, if a man can control his speech, his tongue, he's mature. He can handle just about anything. Isn't that a great thing that he says? He says, for in many things we offend all. The word there, offend, carries the concept of sin or to stumble. And if any man offend not in word, sin not in word, stumble not in word, the same is a... The word there in King James is perfect, but it conveys the idea of one who has maturity. One who has spiritual maturity. One person who understands the concept that words can hurt. We all grew up with our parents saying, sticks and stones, what, will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. You know what? That's absolutely wrong. And I'm going to give you scientific proof of that a little bit. You know, the most sobering words the Lord Jesus ever uttered had to do with this matter of influence over other people through the gifts that He's given us. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples in Luke chapter 17, verse 2, also it's in Matthew and in John. He said, I quote, if any of you offend, that is stumble or to speak misleadingly, one of these who believe in me, wow, listen to what he says. It would be better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and that he was cast into the sea and drowned. Wow, think of that. It is better to be drowned than to let your tongue be an offense or a cause to offend someone else and mislead them. Now, James gives us some illustrations of the influence of the tongue. I'm going to be quick. The ability for the tongue to do wrong, verses 2 to 5. I'm sorry, verses 4 to 5. Behold, he talks about ships, and we know how big a ship can be. And he talks about, even though a ship can be great and large, it is a little thing, a little member of the ship or part of the ship called the helm. And that little part can direct the ship to go anywhere, even into the rocks and destroy it. So James shifts the attention from teachers now to all of us. But he holds teacher and pastor to higher accountability. Because God's given position, we need to be very careful how we speak. Those little members, such as the bit, as James talks about, in the horse's mouth and the helm, they're small. But size doesn't matter. Because James tells us, look how small your tongue is. He says in verse 5, so even the tongue is little. When he says the little member, he just means the tongue is just one organ of your body. And when you compare it to most other organs of your body, it's what? Very small. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I get in a whole lot of trouble with my ears. I'm not saying you can't. I think most of us get in trouble because of our tongue. And that's the vein that James is in. It's small, but size doesn't matter because it could be very powerful. It was Dr. Charles Swindoll who said this, and I quote him. He said, I am personally convinced that the number one enemy of Christian unity is the tongue. Unquote. That's why this message comes on the heel of the message that disunity stifles a church. People who spread gossip and rumor The Bible teaches, displays a lack of wisdom. It's not a wise thing to do. James goes on to talk about the destruction that an uncontrolled tongue can cause. Verses 5 and 6 and 7. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, when you throw a pile of wood in the fireplace, it just takes a little match, doesn't it? Just a match. All the stuff is right there. It's kind of how gossip is. You can have this treasury of stuff, but once you light that match with your tongue, look out. Look out. The tongue is compared in the Bible to a little fire. It's like a match. When out of control, this little fire can set a forest up in a blaze. How many times have we heard about forest fires caused by just a little tiny thing called a cigarette butt? Somebody takes it and throws it out their window, not realizing that thing is lit. And once it catches, it spreads. It was Dr. Washington Irving who once said, I quote, "A sharp tongue is the only edge tool that exists that grows sharper with its constant use." Unquote. I kind of like that. That kind of tells it how it is. You know, most sharp tools, you have to keep them sharpened. But you know, the more that you practice gossip and rumor, the more sharper your tongue's going to get. And the more you're going to do it. That's why it's pertinent that you understand you are a child of God. You are brethren. And that we need the Holy Spirit to nudge us. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Oh God, keep me from gossip. Oh God, may your Holy Spirit nudge me to turn around. And I say it that way because all of us are guilty. And we all need help because we are people not just of the Spirit, but we are people of flesh. Now the Spirit should certainly dominate our flesh. But as I say, what Spirit are you feeding the most? So you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit will whisper to you through your conscience, through your heart. It's not really a good thing to say that. And you know when the Spirit is talking to you. I know I do. The worst thing you do is proceed. Turn it around. This is a graphic illustration of how damaging something little can be. Arthur Snyder was writing for the Chicago Daily News. He says that the average person can see a dot as small as 1/8000th of an inch in diameter. I doubt if I could, but anyway, if you have real good eyes, you could see that. And he says, but this is about 14,000 times larger than the smallest known virus. Wow. Do you see how damaging something small can be if it's not under control? In fact, I've read where one strain of a virus was responsible for what was probably one of the worst epidemics ever experienced. It was the flu epidemic of 1918 and 19. Do you know that that little unseen virus took more lives than were lost in the entire First World War? The Bible tells of another very, very small thing that can inflict great harm. It is that little member of the tongue. Unfortunately, We can't send you to the doctor to get a vaccine to kill the virus. When the tongue is out of control, it is very noticeable. It begins a fire of disunity. And we all need to take responsibility. You know, it's interesting to me that James identifies this like a beast. He says, for every kind of beast, I'm in verse 7, and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. And they have been tamed by mankind. Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement, and you think about it for a little bit. You ever go into the circus and see the things they do with elephants? I mean, that's a huge beast. And that elephant will put his paw up and gently put it down. Lions have been tamed to go through hoops. Animal after animals have been tamed by mankind, but we can't tame our tongue. He says it. I didn't say it. Don't get upset with me. Verse 8. We can tame every kind of animal. But this little tiny thing called the tongue can no man tame. And I have to really focus on that. Listen, this is the word of God. No man can tame it. So if no man can tame it, then I gotta have God to tame it. That's why I asked you. Would you not pray to the Holy Spirit? Because you ain't gonna do it. You're a man. You're a woman. You aren't going to tame it. Say, oh God, I like to gossip, but it's wrong. Please forgive me. And Lord, every time I begin to open my mouth, may your Holy Spirit that's in me say, stop. Don't say that. Say something nice. You can quickly turn it around. I got to close because we have communion. You know, there was a doctor who said this, and this substantiates that words hurt. Sticks and stones, you know, can break your bones. But the truth is, words can cause you grief. Words can cause sickness. Doctor said it this way, there is not an organ or tissue in the human body, the condition of which cannot be modified in one manner or another by means of word. What the doctor is saying, that words impact us. He says that our bodies secrete certain enzymes that can be harmful to us when the tongue shoots out its venom. And James said that long before any doctor said that the tongue can cause poison. And I know what he's saying. I mean, how many times has somebody said something negative and it bothers you and you almost get like a sick feeling in your stomach. And by the way, some people have gotten ulcers. Our bodies do secrete certain enzymes that can be harmful to us when things are said in an evil and negative spirit. And by the way, our bodies also secrete good enzymes that can help us heal. That's why laughter is important. It's a medicine. And it'll help secrete enzymes that will relax you, put you at peace, and make you healthy. But the tongue can be poison. And the poison's name is gossip. So beware of gossiping in the church and being a member who gossips. I'm going to ask every one of us to turn to Ephesians 4:29, and I'm going to be done. But I want us to leave with the Word of God on our heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, instructs you and me by the Holy Spirit to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Everybody there? Let's claim this verse for the unity of our church, for the health of our church. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We're here to edify, not to tear down, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we know today that a test of our faith can be determined by the use of our tongue. Help us all today to be honest and transparent before you, a holy, omniscient God, and confess this sin, if it has been a sin that we have been involved in. But may all of us surrender to your Holy Spirit, that, oh God, our tongue will never be used as a tool in the devil's workshop. Lord, help us to be people who speak in a way that build up others. And may we recognize that this church is the one place where people come to be comforted, to be consoled, to be edified, not to be degraded. Help us to protect the communion of our church. And may the communion that we're about to receive, Father, may it guarantee it. For we would never take unworthily of it, lest we should face condemnation. Father, if there's someone here today who says, I can't get this truth down, maybe they don't know you in a personal way. So I ask you, Father, that they might receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They might recognize sin, the penalty of sin, the damage of sin, and know that Christ took the penalty of all of their sin, that they might be delivered and have the righteousness of Christ, your Son. Save that soul, Lord, by granting to them a humble spirit of repentance and an acknowledgement that you are God, you love them, and Jesus died in their place for their sin and rose from the dead. Amen. To justify us in your eyes. And may it be known by your Holy Spirit that through Christ we have eternal life, and we have it right now. Bless the communion now, we ask you, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to ask the deacons if they'll come forward and prepare the table so we can participate in communion.